We pray. Heavenly Father, merciful Lord, you who are the creator of time, how quickly days slide into weeks, weeks, months, and years and decades. Dear Lord, how quickly our lives fly by. And yet, dear Lord, we thank you that in each and every day we might praise your holy name and drink deeply of your life-giving word. Bless us and strengthen us for all that is ahead, and that we might greet you on your return. In Christ our Savior, amen. I've heard stories of those old tent revivalists at the turn of the century. Oh, with their red faces, how they'd work up such a sweat that it would drain down into their collars. How their fists would be swirling over their heads and come thumping down on the pulpits. How they would scream for sinners to repent on their knees. And oh, how they could preach the law, huh? Malachi's words for us today would have made for a marvelous tent revival, huh? Oh, we can imagine how they would be shouting these words about the end of time. I wonder, however, whether Malachi shouted them at the Old Testament Israelites or whether he more quietly just spoke them into his heart, into their hearts. Well, today we're going to keep cool heads and calm hearts, and we're simply just going to think about these words God gave to Malachi, and let God's word do its own work of finding its way through our ears, down into our heart of hearts, and giving us all God intended when he gives us a sneak peek of what lies in our future. I'm also amazed in these days that there's some real renowned scientists that are prophesying that the earth is soon to become so toxic and polluted that it will be uninhabitable for human life right within this century. Their solution to the problem? We're all going to have to move to Mars. That's the ultimate reason for trying to establish colonies on Mars, because that's going to be the safe place for humans to go to kind of save the species. Wow. This world would have to become very toxic, pretty toxic, for Mars to be a better option. I guess I find it kind of hard to imagine that our grandchildren or great-grandchildren are actually going to have to leave planet Earth and rush off to Mars. For me, that's a little bit of a stretch. But the one thing I do agree with these scientists, is that there is coming a day when Earth will be uninhabitable. But it won't be because of our pollution. It'll be that day when God brings his judgment upon the earth. Judgment day. When will that day come? Scripture is very clear. Nobody's going to know. But Scripture is just as clear that it will come. And what will happen when it comes? God told Malachi the prophet, "Surely the day is coming." Let's pause a moment on that word, surely. God is stressing something there, surely. God wanted the Old Testament believers and us to know without a doubt, the day is coming. Absolutely, positively. Whether we want to believe it or deny it, that day is coming. Much like at Noah's flood, people said, "Oh, Noah, you're full of berries. You know, go away with this stuff." Until the day came. And then all of a sudden it was very real. You know, when we're young, we feel like we're going to live forever. The road of our life just stretches out before us over the horizon, and it never has an ending. As we get older, we realize there's more days behind us than ahead of us. Well, there's more days behind the history of this world than there are in front of the history of this world. Our lives, this world, all of God's creations, their days are numbered and they're flying quickly by. It's so important that we listen to what God says through Malachi. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. God describes Judgment Day as a blast furnace, the fire of His judgment. Everything will be burnt up. Sometimes it can feel kind of strange to us to look at those forest fires in California. First, we look at the map of the United States, and it looks like just a little pinprick of a place. And then the reporters have us zoom down into the reporters right on the field, and we see these whole mountains ablaze with flames that are going up 60 feet and whole towns that have been burnt down. The only things that left standing are the stone or brick chimneys, like little tomb markers. And then we're aghast. But it's still just that little pinprick of a place on the planet. Imagine, if you will, that our nice blue planet all of a sudden is red with fire. Completely a ball of fire. Wow, that takes our breath away, huh? Everything will be destroyed. This marvelous church that we think will stand forever will dissolve into ash in the twinkling of an eye. The White House will collapse within itself. Mount Kilimanjaro and all our national parks that we love will be ablaze in flames. Our homes, our cars, our computers, our clothes, they'll all disintegrate right before our eyes. Everything we've poured our life's sweat and our life's heart into, building a business, making a reputation, developing a cure, climbing a mountain, enjoy, all of it will be gone, done, over. The tongues of the flames will turn it all to ash. What a great and dreadful day. The reason people don't like to talk about Judgment Day very often is that this harsh truth really changes us. It can change us very profoundly when we take to heart and truly believe with all certainty what Malachi says. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. What it changes is it changes our relationship with stuff. With the stuff we so enjoy in this world. The stuff we spend so much money and time on. The stuff we devote our hearts to. It's all going to be fuel for the fire. And realizing how temporary transit, it's going to turn to ash in our hands, that changes our attitude toward the things of this world, and we detach, if you will, from the love of this world. Its days are numbered. It's soon done and gone. And it will be no more. Here today and gone tomorrow. But the greatest pain in Malachi's words, the thing that scares us the most, is the people who will be consumed by the fire of God's judgment. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Therein lies the problem. Our world and our sinful nature thinks it's so cool to be arrogant, be all so full of ourselves. We could talk about our terrible twos. We could talk about being the teenage with an attitude. We could talk about the young adult swagger through life. Or the midlife person who wants to conquer the world. It's all mine to take. Or the old timer who has a know-it-all confidence. I've seen it all. I've lived through it all. I know everything. Whatever the age is, whatever the circumstance, arrogance shows itself. Shows itself to live in our sinful nature. And therein lies the problem. We have been an arrogant people, so full of ourselves. And we have that demonic voice within us that says, well, don't you know? Bad is good. Grab what you want. Take it all. It doesn't matter. Say whatever will get you ahead. There's no right or wrong. Actually, you decide for yourself what is evil and what is righteous. Surely the day is coming, O arrogant and evildoers. Malachi's words help us see just how deadly our sins are. We have been the arrogant. We have been the evildoers. And the fire of God's judgment is drawing ever nearer. We take God at his word. So that fills us with fear. And the whole thought that this fire never goes out. It is an unquenchable, eternal fire. Remember when Jesus told the parable of the sheep and the goats? He comes in that parable, and what does he say to the unbelievers? Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Wow. Is there anything more important than to escape the fire of God's judgment? The Apostle Peter asked the question, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? What kind of people ought we to be? Repentant people? Thankful people? Thankful that we have a God who keeps his promises. He's made the promise that he's going to destroy this world and all evildoers, and we can take that to the bank. But he also made the promise in the Garden of Eden that he would send the seed of the woman to crush the serpent's head, to defeat Satan and sin and everything that would keep us out of heaven. And so he kept his promise. God himself came and took on human flesh. We're about to step into another Christmas celebration. That's what truly makes Christmas Christmas. The coming of the Christ. And sure enough, he worked our salvation. He lived the life and died the death that would free us from the curse and bring the blessing of our Savior down on our heads rather than the fire of his judgment. That holy blood that washes us clean and the powerful promise Jesus made to us in our gospel lesson today. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Did you catch the significance of that? We have eternal, not we might have or we could have or we someday will have. No, has eternal life, has crossed over from death to life. God has made that promise. That he has accomplished it all. There is nothing left to do for our salvation. He gives it to us as a free gift. And as surely as he's given us life and salvation, he will take us home to be with him in glory everlasting. How we ought to be? Thankful. Thankful that he has not left us in our sins just waiting for the fire of his judgment to descend upon us. Thankful that he's provided a Savior. a complete Savior, Jesus Christ. Thankful that He has spoken His word of truth into the depths of our being, that we are recreated to be the very children of God, and absolutely confident of our home in heaven. We have escaped the fire of His judgment that is coming on the world. Just as Malachi said, "But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings." In faith, God's name is more precious to us than life itself. On that final day, the Son of Righteousness will rise, just like the morning sun popping over the horizon. He will appear. And in the beautiful beams and rays and wings of His light divine, He will heal us. Heal us from all sickness and shame and sin and imperfection and anything that would bar us and keep us out of heaven's glory. He will heal us. While the unbelieving world is being consumed by fire, He will lift us above the flames in His grace, just as He lifted Noah above the judgment that covered the world. And we will be filled with such joy. More joy than the first day we held our newborn child in our arms. More joy than winning the Super Bowl. More joy than is known on the face of this earth, for we will see our Savior as He truly is, His enormous love and His salvation that wraps us in His grace and goodness. Our God keeps His promises, and so we know with certainty everything will be destroyed. So what kind of people ought we to be? Watchful. Watchful. People who feed on His word, hold it dear in our hearts, ought to be people who are anticipating His arrival, counting the days. People who keep our eyes focused on Him. Children who obey His word in everything, not just in some things. To put away those evil deeds of darkness for which the fire of God's judgment is coming to this world, and to humbly walk before our God, trusting every word that comes from His mouth. Malachi's words are a very good text for a revival, but not a revival by some screaming fanatic. Rather, a revival brought by the gospel. That good news, that very same good news that created the Christian inside of us, the child of God. It's that very same good news that keeps our eyes heavenward, looking for our Savior's return in all of His glory. It's that glorious gospel that detaches us from the things and the love of this world and attaches us to our Savior coming. And so, in all confidence, we know soon He will come. And so we pray, come, Lord Jesus. Come. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, our days are in Your hands. You created all of them before one of them came to be. And dear Lord, soon they will all run their course. So also with this world, prepare our hearts and lives to see You again, to greet You in the air, dear Lord, that we might eagerly anticipate Your arrival in all Your glory and splendor. How our heart yearns to be with You in glory everlasting. Bless us and strengthen us now and forever in Christ our Savior. Amen.